Have you ever had a feeling that something dreadful was about to happen?
This whole premise is sweaty.
Okay, moving right along.
You gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter?
Just remember that this thing isn't as black as it appears.
Hold on to your butt.
The only difference between me and a homeless man is his job.
I'm glad you're here to tell us.
I'm looking for the least possible amount of responsibility.
And that ain't bad.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Man's got to know his limitations.
I'm glad you came back.
In the bag.
Network. I drink it up.
Welcome back to the Bag Pod, everyone, off of a, what, week and a half, two-week hiatus, something like that?
A week and a half hiatus, I believe it was. I mean, you were on the pup list there, so
you're back.
Ready to go?
I was out with an illness. With illness, if you will.
That happens. You were, was it a Peyton Hillis situation, or, you know, were you really unable to do the show?
A little bit of both, perhaps. I mean, considering the show requires copious amounts of talking.
No doubt.
The throat was tender. It was sore.
Okay.
So.
All right, well, I can respect that.
In any case, we've got an action-packed show, I suppose, for you guys today. We'll be talking all sorts of football, some college basketball, some NHL. It's going to be a good time. But we'd be remiss if, I suppose, we did not mention
big news.
The Super Bowl at some point, correct?
Yeah, I think, I mean, we got to open with it, right?
Exactly. So, as I'm sure everyone knows, the Giants beat the Patriots.
I understand.
In the Super Bowl in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Lots of talk about Eli's
ascendancy into the great quarterbacks, the elites, excuse me.
Exactly. Lots of talk about that. Some talk about maybe Brady screwing up, maybe Wes Welker screwing up.
That's true. I mean, you know, I listen, Brady probably could have played a better game. The ball hit Wes Welker in the hands. I mean, I understand it was tough. His body was turning. But, I mean, you know, how many Super Bowls have we seen great catches make the difference? So I think to just put it all on Brady and say, oh, he should have had a great throw. Well, you know, think of 2007, the David Tyree catch, you know, the Santonio Holmes catch. I think that you really got to put it more. I just put it more on Welker, I guess, as opposed to Brady blowing it or something at the end.
Not only that, but the Mario Manningham catch. No matter how much Eli Manning tells me that he's practiced that pass over and over again, there's no way he's practiced that pass over and over again like that.
No. I mean, practice, you can never simulate it in a game situation. It's like guys say they practice the Santonio Holmes thing all the time, but, you know, that's why not that many people. I remember, like, Mike Wallace making a catch like that one time in the regular season. Like, not a lot of people were making it, so
yeah,
it shows.
It was a great, great catch. And I mean, it was a good throw, but, you know, who knows?
I mean, to
it
get
could have been a better
season,
throw
yeah.
as well, I feel like, too. So
For sure.
But, yeah, in my estimation, I would have to say that the Patriots actually played the better game. I thought, neither team played, like, a great game or anything. But
the stats are really horrible, actually, when you look at them. It's a little unbelievable.
Yeah, I thought the Patriots just played the better game, and the Giants got lucky like there was nothing else going on. So
I feel like the Giants just kind of made the bigger plays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Patriots were hanging around. They were never really out of the game. You know, they were competitive. You thought they had a chance to win, but the Giants, I don't know, just to me, I felt the momentum going to the Giants almost the whole game. Like, I was really kind of like, oh, the Giants are going to win this game. It's just a matter of time. So, I don't know. Maybe that was just me, but it just seemed like I agree with what you're saying. I think the Patriots were solid, but I don't know. For some reason, it just seemed like the Giants were going to end up winning to me.
Mm-hmm. In any case, I mean, was the Super Bowl, I felt like this year's Super Bowl,
I thought it was anticlimactic.
It was a little anticlimactic. I don't know if it was boring throughout, but it wasn't, like, exciting or anything. And then not helping that were the commercials as well, which I wrote a piece about earlier this week that you can check out on the website. But,
Yeah,
I don't know.
True.
It was just there. It was kind of overhyped. I was ready for the game to be played, and then the game just was kind of... It was just like another game, basically. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't... I mean, other than that Mario Manningham catch, I don't know if there were any truly great plays, Super Bowl worthy plays that everyone would, you know, jump out of their socks to see.
Yeah, no, and I think I felt that it being in Indianapolis, that gave it a more muted feel. I mean, I'm not trying to hate on Indianapolis, but it felt a little underwhelming to me for the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, something about that also, to me, contributed to the, I mean, you know, like when it's in Miami or whatever, you got all like the ESPN people are outside, they're on South Beach, the wind is whipping, people are walking around. I mean, you know what I mean? It has kind of an event feel to it.
Well, I would say for the most part, games outside have more of an event feel than games inside, no matter
what. Okay, fair enough.
But, yeah, I suppose I understand you on that. I don't know. It just, it was kind of like both teams knew each other real well, and I don't know. It wasn't anything. It's not going to go down as like one of the great Super Bowls in history.
Yeah, no, that's definitely for sure. But I think we can say Eli Manning, pretty good quarterback. I mean, I guess you could say he's certainly with the elite who are playing now. You know, I don't know where he ranks.
Here's the thing about Eli, though. It's just, I'm not confident in him. When I watch him, I'm
right.
not confident that he will. I mean, I know he had like 12 come from behind late fourth quarter drives or whatever, but it never seems like he's in command of the game. It always feels like
I just feel like I think it's because he's so understated as a person. You almost don't notice that he's doing things. I mean, I really do. The fourth quarter stat really does stand out to me, though. I feel that, you know, that's a real strong stat to have. I mean, when the game matters, he really can go into top gear.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this automatically puts him in the Hall of Fame, the second Super Bowl win, or do you agree with Kurt Warner saying that he still has a little work to do?
I agree with Kurt Warner that he still has a little work to do. I mean, you know, even though I said what I just said and a little bit in contradiction to you, I do think that, you know, he needs to show a little more in terms of him really being the guy, you know, just dominating. I mean, like, you know, we've just seen, like, you never see him dominate the way Tom Brady has just dominated a game, or that Peyton Manning just takes over a game. I mean, it almost seems like in this supernatural way, like all of a sudden they just turn it on. And I do think he needs some more of those moments before we can really say Hall of Fame for sure.
I mean, it's not even that. It's like these guys, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, they've dominated entire seasons.
Right, for sure.
And I mean, the Giants, I mean, they carry their team. And the Giants, they're always, for some odd reason, they're always struggling to even make it into the playoffs, let alone, like, dominating the entire conference. And I think that's part, I mean, if Eli was a real elite quarterback, I feel as though, you know, he would be carrying the team in such a way that, you know, instead of sneaking in at 9-7, they would be 13-3 or 12-4 at least, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I think you're right. I just feel that going forward, I feel strongly, I think that we're going to see that kind of thing out of him. I mean, I really do like the trajectory of his career, I have to say.
But, yeah, so I guess that wraps up the NFL season, if you will.
That wraps it up. Although, in a way, for fans like us of teams that are not good,
yes,
it kind of starts the NFL season, because for the whole playoffs, it's just you're already looking ahead.
I mean, since November, right? I would say we've been looking ahead.
That's true. You're right. You're right.
Hope springs eternal, Eugene.
That it does. That it does.
But yeah, no, the off season, I guess.
You see, my skin's making some noise with the Peyton Manning back here.
I guess that's good. I don't really know.
I'll take it however I get it, man. I just like people to acknowledge we're existing.
Yeah, you do exist. I mean, you exist more so than I guess the Buffalo Bills exist. But yeah, I don't know. I guess the first true off-season event would be the Combine, which is, I think, February 23rd it starts. I'm not quite sure on that.
Yeah, I don't pay attention to the Combine.
Yeah, I mean, the Combine is so hilarious just because randomly people, like, somehow it affects their draft stock if they don't run as fast or as strong as you think they are. And you're just,
exactly.
It's hilarious, but yeah, there's no real true NFL stuff going on until, I guess, free agency start.
That's true. But before we move on, I just have to take note that tonight was the debut of Terrell Owens in the Indoor Football League.
Yeah?
And yeah, so
you have a stat
there you
line
go.
On that?
I don't have a stat line on it. I really couldn't bring myself to even check, but it's just a shame.
Well, T.O. had a nice little warm-up game in the Celebrity Beach Bowl, if you happen to watch that.
I did not, you know what I'm saying, but I guess, you know, maybe this will get him back in the league or something, but yeah, that's where that guy's at.
I can tell you one thing right now, Joe Montana looked like feces.
Yeah.
I watched the Celebrity Beach Bowl game, Joe Montana, he's done. The Skechers are not helping him out enough. He needs, like, arm Skechers.
That's actually unfortunate, you know. I mean, he's kind of like an old boxer who just doesn't know when he's done. Keeps showing up to events and embarrassing himself.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Warren Moon, he was slinging the ball around there.
Hey, Warren Moon can throw it, man. He can throw it.
It's true. In any case, let's go from American football to across the ponds football and the big
over
news.
There.
Yes, over there. The big news coming out today that England's national team coach, Fabio Capello, he has resigned, basically due to the Premier, not the Premiership, what are they, I guess the Football Association in England.
Yeah. FA.
Yes, the FA saying that John Terry would be allowed to play in the 2012 Euro competition, which is every 4 years. It's basically like a World Cup except for just European teams, for those of you that don't know what it is. Basically, they said that the captain, John Terry, would be relinquished of his, relieved of his captaincy, but he would be able to play.
He would be able to play
on the team. And Fabio Capello, I assume, was not did not like that decision. Maybe not because he thought Terry's leadership skills were immense or anything, but maybe just because the FA was telling him how to run the club, and you know that's kind of his job. So he resigned today. He was the most successful England manager win loss record wise in the past 70 years, I believe.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, you know, the way he's selling it for sure is that, you know, it's just this crosses red line of what they are not allowed to do in terms of managing the team. I mean, he certainly rescued them from the brink, and what was that, 2008 when he came on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, let's be honest. I really think what's hanging over his head is the extremely poor performance of the English side in the last World Cup. And, I mean, to be fair, I mean, everyone's, like, acting like this is a huge thing. But at to be honest, people have been talking about him being replaced. So,
well, he wasn't. I want to say that he wasn't. He was thinking about not even re-signing.
Yeah, after Euro 2012 is when his contract was up.
I thought he was thinking about leaving before that, but maybe I'm wrong. In any case, there was a lot of optimism around this English side, especially after their friendly win against Spain late last year. So.
Yeah, you know, I believe it when I see it. You know, when a team's coming off a bad year, let's see. I mean, obviously England has a chance to be good, but you know, let's see.
Well, do you think Capello was right in resigning? Or, I mean, basically the reason why John Terry was relieved of his captaincy was because of a ongoing investigation of racism, of him, I don't know, saying
making a racial
slur on the field.
On the pitch.
Yes. So, I mean, do you think this was the right move for Capello? Or, I mean,
From a PR standpoint, it's a bad move for him because it pretty much... Now he's coming out and saying, like, oh, you know, well, Terry's innocent until proven guilty or whatever, which is true. But I don't know. I just don't know if you really want to stake your claim to John Terry. I mean, he's been kind of a knucklehead his whole career, as people know. You know, I mean, I believe he probably did say it just based on, you know, who he is as a person. So, I mean, if you're going to make your stand on something, I don't know if this is the thing to really make your stand on.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, if he feels that, I mean, I understand on the other hand that, you know, to have the Football Association just kind of telling you who's going to do what on the team could be, you know, it's a little rough. But at the same time, I think this is probably not the time to do it. Even if this pissed him off, maybe just wait until you do it. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't be surprised if Capello ended up coming back in a couple of weeks anyway. But
I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're definitely going to hire somebody new, without a doubt.
With my whole thing, I mean, racism, especially in the EPL this year, the English Premier League, Barclays Premier League, Premiership League, whatever, it has been the hot topic with Luis Suarez being banned, I think, 8 games for racial comments. My thing is, I mean, I agree racism clearly is not condoned. You shouldn't condone racism. But I feel as though in the field of play, there's a lot of ridiculous stuff said already. Like,
true, but you got to look at the context of it, though. In the European soccer, you know what I'm saying? Like, with the fascist fan clubs and, you know, these just totally out of control racist hooligans like the English Defense League or whatever that form up around football games. I think you have to have a zero tolerance policy on the pitch because it's so, you know, it's so easy to inflame that element of the fan base. And if they feel that they have any encouragement from the players, they're going to feel emboldened, and it's really just going to put more fans in danger because it's going to increase that sort of rowdy, violent, aggressive behavior.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but also it's not as if the clubs are really trying to decrease the whole hooliganism in
no,
football,
no, they
the
could
crazy
definitely
fans
do more,
and everything.
For sure. For sure. I mean, they could definitely do more.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I'm not saying the racial slurs should be allowed or anything, but it's also kind of like, you know, eventually you're going to get to the point where you can't say anything, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, maybe, but I just don't think the context is the same. Like, a cuss word is not the same context as a racial slur, you know what I'm saying? Because
that carries a whole other
connotation. I don't think it's going to really change the nature of, like, the trash talk on the pitch.
Well, I mean, I'd almost say that trash talk against a specific player, talking about something from their past or their family or something, is more egregious than just throwing out racial slurs.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I think a racial slur is certainly. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on what they say about your family. I think they could probably be equally egregious depending on what they say. But and I mean, the two obviously aren't mutually exclusive. I mean, I don't really think either of those things. But then again, that's also a personal thing, not like a broader societal thing. Like, there's not, you know, 1,000 people ready to riot because, you know, somebody's mother is right.
All right. Well, in any case, that's the huge news in the English football, if you will.
Well, it's probably the biggest news in the world, and that just shows you something about America, sporting wise. Like, that's probably the biggest sports news in the world, except in America.
How do we think England's going to do in the Euro 2012, regardless of their manager? I mean, they're kind of in a state of transition. They've got a bunch of these real young guys that are almost too young to kind of be relied on, and then they've got a bunch of old guys that are almost too old to be able to
ride. Right, exactly. So that's why I see them as a wild card. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it's one I don't expect them to do well, but, you know, they've got players, you know what I mean? So if the circumstances are right, you know, they could heat up, but I don't expect them to do very well.
Well, I mean, England's kind of notorious for being sort of at the very least, chokers, and if not, I mean, you know, usually they're overhyped, and especially maybe this is because we're English speaking, and so we understand the hype more or easier than we do from other countries.
Right.
But England is always hyped as one of the elite clubs, I feel like, and then they always end up disappointing in the major tournaments. So, I don't know. Maybe they'll be able to buck that trend this year. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, they need it. I mean, I think that the national fans will not accept a poor performance. People are very upset over the South Africa situation, which was embarrassing, the way they played.
They let America win the group, for God's sake.
That's true. Well, the real question now, I think, is do they go English for a manager, or do they keep going somewhere? I mean, obviously, Jose Mourinho has said that he wants to do it.
Do you think he'd leave? I mean, I feel like...
Well, there's, of course, people saying he's not going to leave, but it seems to me like if you really want to make that jump, and he said he definitely would like to have that job, now's the time to do it, because they're going to want a big name. Going into Euro 2012, you're going to want someone that the fans are going to feel like, okay, yeah, this is the guy.
Yeah, I mean, but there's a ton of big names that are just chilling, I feel like.
Well, the main dude that they wanted, I guess, who was under some sort of indictment, I guess got cleared of his indictment, this British guy.
What's his name? Who is he?
I believe it's Harry Belknap.
Okay, yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah.
In any case, yeah, I suppose we'll see. We'll monitor the situation and get back to all you guys who I know.
We will. We're
going to
keep you informed. We're going to keep you informed about the international happenings.
Exactly.
We may actually be broadcasting live from the London Olympics.
That would be awesome.
You better believe that.
That would be the greatest thing in the history of the world.
Yeah.
In any case, let's come back to America here, and let's talk. Coming off the heels of maybe the biggest college basketball night in the year, in this season.
I can believe that.
Where we've had three games against three ranked opponents. We had Georgetown at Syracuse, we had Kansas at Baylor, and then we just had the exciting Duke at UNC game. We'll talk a little conference. We'll talk a little college basketball here.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of that Duke UNC game?
I'm not gonna lie. I turned it off because UNC was up. I think 10 minutes left. They were up by 12, And then right before we did this podcast, you said Duke came back, so I turned it on, and Austin Rivers hit that game-winning three. I mean,
yeah, there's no doubt that Austin Rivers was going. I mean, he was going ham. It was unbelievable. I mean, he was playing hard all night. And I remember early on, Jay Billis was like, yeah, you know, I said to him pre-game, Harrison Barnes is going to be a tough matchup for you. And apparently Austin Rivers responded, well, you know, I'm planning to be a tough matchup for him. So I hate Duke, but I do like that attitude. You know what I mean? And I think it shows why he took that last three, where you're thinking, what's he doing? He's not passing the ball.
He was
this
just
is crazy.
Dribbling. It looked like he didn't know what the clock was doing, and then he just
drained it.
Yeah. The narrative during the game seemed to be how Duke lacked the true superstar slash assassin sort of guy, the kind of guy that you could go to at the end.
The Christian Laettner, they kept saying.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, okay.
Cool. That's what they were saying. What do you want me to say? That's what they said. Coach K said he was missing.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's necessary. Okay. In any case.
This is what the coach is saying, Bagman. Don't shoot the messenger.
All right. They were missing the Christian Laettner. Do we think Austin Rivers perhaps tried to solidify some Christian Laettner after tonight? Or?
I mean, maybe, but this is a blip to me. I mean, I think that North Carolina was dominating this game. I think at one point it was like 73, like 57 or something, and it was clear. And obviously they just let up. I think they've done that a few times this season. But I definitely think North Carolina is the stronger team. I think this was... I mean, obviously a clutch performance by Austin Rivers, but I don't know if this solidifies him. You know, let's see him do it a few more times. You know, I think 9 times out of 10, North Carolina wins this game.
Yeah, I mean, UNC as well. They have kind of let up. They've let up off the gas a few times this season. So this isn't totally surprising, although it's got to piss them off for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
In any case, the narrative from ESPN the entire week, since this is rivalry week, has been that a lot of these great rivalries, college basketball slash football rivalries, will be ending after this year. Basically, Bob Knight and Brent Musburger have been on the farewell tour to some of these rivalries, where in every stop they say something along the lines of, this might be the last time that so-and-so plays in this arena. So, I mean... It's kind of ridiculous.
It's kind of ridiculous because some of these teams probably will play again. I mean, we don't know 100% for sure. Even if they don't play, say, next year, maybe in 2 years, if they figure out a way to renew the rivalry. So I think it's a little bit presumptive to even be making these statements, other than, of course, to jack up the ratings.
Yeah, I mean, in basketball especially, where you schedule 36, 38 games a year, clearly.
Right.
I mean, if you're not scheduling your... you know, 100-year rival in a basketball season. Clearly, that's out of spite than out of anything else.
Exactly, exactly.
But I don't know. I don't know. It just seems fairly...
Well, you know, new rivalries would be created, too. I think that's the other thing that often gets left out. I mean, I don't want to minimize old rivalries, but, I mean, we see it all the time if you look at when rivalries began and when they ended. You know, I mean, especially, obviously, if you go back to, like, turn-of-the-century football when, you know, Yale was good. But in a general sense, I feel like, you know, that's an important element of it is if you're going to a new conference, you're going to have other teams that you're going to build these rivalries with. So it's not all negative from that perspective.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It just seems they've been hyping it up so much, it just seems kind of ridiculous.
True.
I would be very surprised if Texas and Texas A&M did not play at least one more time within the next at least another season within the next couple.
I completely agree with that. I mean, that would make no sense.
But yeah, we're getting kind of to that nitty-gritty part of the schedule here. We're getting towards the end of the conference season, towards the postseason.
We are. Mid-February coming up.
National championship tournament. What are you thinking here? How do you feel about the top teams? Who do you think are the top four, I suppose? Who would be your number one seeds in the tournament?
Who are my number one seeds right now? Well, I'm definitely still going to take North Carolina. I like North Carolina.
They do have a lot of talent.
You know, I'm on the fence about Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just on the fence, so I'm going to leave them off.
Okay.
I like Kentucky. I like how they dominate the middle for sure.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis? I do like Anthony Davis. The man is long. He dominates inside the parabola for sure.
I'm pretty sure Anthony Davis was sired by a Mr. Potato Head. if you look at that guy's face, it looks like someone just has been changing in and out noses and eyebrows. So
I feel you.
I mean, he's a great player, but I'm sorry. He got beat with the ugly stick when he was a kid.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know about Syracuse. I watched them play a little bit. Georgetown really took them to the wire, man. I think I thought Georgetown looked pretty good. And, you know, they couldn't get in a substitution there at the end to get in a real clutch shooter, and that was probably unfortunate for them. They might have won the game. But, you know, I do think Syracuse could be up there. You know, Florida, I liked Florida. You know, they didn't win that game.
Yeah.
But, I think they could be a team that can come out.
All right, so what are your top four picks here? What are your number one seeds?
I mean, Bagman, you're really painting me into a corner right now. I don't know if I really want to. Put myself down here. I mean, people
are
gonna.
Like you've got Kentucky and Syracuse.
Well, you know, I'm gonna have to take Kentucky and North Carolina for sure.
Okay, North Carolina.
And then I'll take Missouri.
Missouri is the number one seed. Okay.
What can I say? Yes, I understand that the Big 12 is not that good. But, you know, if you're the best team in a named conference.
I don't know. The Big 12 is pretty good in basketball, at least. The football season was a little disappointing. But I think they've got at least three ranked teams, right? And they're all ranked fairly highly. And then Iowa State's been making a little noise, too. So.
Yeah, you know, they're up there. I mean, they got Kansas. I mean,
How about some Big Ten teams? You seem to have neglected the Big Ten conference.
Yeah, I know. And I know Ohio State's standing out there. I just don't believe in Big Ten basketball, I guess. And I know, you know, they've had some good teams. They've obviously Sullinger, a good player in Ohio State. But I mean, obviously Ohio State is going to be a one seed. I mean, if I had to put it down on paper, I'm going to put them down.
Okay.
But I just don't want to say it.
All right. Fair enough. I mean, I'd be surprised if Kentucky and Syracuse don't end up as number one seeds.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would have to fall pretty hard. But I think Syracuse could easily fall harder because of the Big East situation. You know, I mean, just seeing how Georgetown at Syracuse was able to take them to the wire, it's kind of like, okay, you never know.
Yeah. I like Syracuse.
And Boeheim, very negative about his team, too. So.
Yeah. I feel as though the ACC is kind of down. I think that...
Well, how about those Cavaliers, though, my friend?
I mean... They play some Big Ten basketball, basically. They play a lot of defense, and it's ugly.
I like it. Sneaking up. They could make it into the tournament.
They should make it into the tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to make it in, as a number one seed.
Oh, well, clearly. I'm not crazy. I mean, Florida State would probably have to make it ahead of them, right? If it's going to be another team from the ACC that's not North Carolina or Duke.
Maybe. In any case, I feel as though there won't be a one seed from the ACC. I think if UNC had won tonight... and then even if they had lost at Cameron on the last Saturday, but then still made the conference tourney final, I think they would have been a number one seed. But since they lost tonight, I think that kind of hurts them unless they can beat Duke at Duke.
I think they can beat Duke at Duke too.
So I'm gonna leave no ACC. I'm gonna not allow any ACC number one seed.
I can't do that though.
I'll give Ohio State a nod at the number one seed.
Okay.
I think they're much better than any other Big Ten team. But I mean,
for sure.
There are a lot of quality teams in the Big Ten, but they're a step above the rest. And then, God, it's got to be someone coming out of the Big 12, right? But
I think so.
If Missouri can keep on keeping on, I guess they'll be the one. But I wouldn't sleep on Kansas, maybe.
Kansas is good, but I guess the question is, yeah.
So.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, I think Kansas is definitely dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I other than that, I mean, the Pac-12 is awful.
Oh yeah, I mean, Pac-12 basketball. I think I can't even remember the last time I really cared about a team in the Pac-12 in basketball.
I mean, currently, I believe Joe Lunardi has only one Pac-12 team coming, and that's the conference champion.
That's embarrassing.
So, yeah, that's bad.
USC better start paying people again.
Someone needs to do something. I mean, UCLA has had a real rough go of it.
UCLA has just completely tanked athletics-wise.
Mm-hmm. But all right, I think that'll be it for now about college basketball. I'm sure we'll be talking about it much more.
It's heating up
in the coming weeks. So. Last item of discussion tonight will be, I suppose, specifically the fight between the Rangers and the Devils at the opening puck drop that happened last night.
Two fights.
Two simultaneous fights.
Yes.
What are you thinking about that? How do you? I mean, first, I guess, why don't you tell us, are you for fighting in the NHL or are you against fighting?
I'm 100% for fighting in the NHL. And I think what they're saying, too, about it taking the edge off of the game is definitely true. Especially, I mean, I know people say there's no Olympic hockey, but I think the smaller rink, and I mean, this is complete, you know, completely anecdotal, but I feel like the smaller rink, you know, the tempers flare a little more. You know, it's a little more packed in there. Things get a little more heated. I think it's a good way to regulate the game. I think this, though, is ridiculous. To have two simultaneous fights, like, before the game basically even starts, I mean, right after the puck drops, is ridiculous. I think when you're fighting in the heat of the moment, you know, in the course of the game, fine. But to let it carry over multiple games like that, I mean, maybe one fight right after the puck drops when something egregious happens that you couldn't get a guy for the last game. But, I mean, I think definitely there should be some suspensions handed out for this.
Well, not only that, but I believe a couple of the players were inserted into the starting lineup specifically so that they could participate in this opening puck drop fight.
Exactly, which is ridiculous. I mean, the coaching staff coordinating something like this, I mean, come on.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I feel as though, I don't know, it didn't really rub me the wrong way. I feel like this is inherently, this is much better them kind of fighting at the very beginning and getting it out of the way than maybe not being able to fight at all, and then it's just a bunch of guys going at the opposing team trying to take cheap shots and stuff like that.
Why don't you get rid of fighting, though? I agree.
Well, yeah, no, but I'm saying, like, in this contest, it's kind of like, okay, we know there's a lot of bad blood. We're going to get it out at the very beginning, and then we're going to try to play, you know, some rough hockey.
Yeah.
I don't feel that bad about it. Plus, I mean, these fights at the beginning of the games, I feel as though they won't be, they can't be as brutal as perhaps a mid-game fight when tempers are flaring and you're.
But I think that's when it's most justified, though.
Well, yeah, no,
to me, like, you know, fight at the time or let it go. Unless it's really egregious, don't carry it over.
I don't know. I
and only one fight at a time. I mean, like, come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to do that, you might as well just bring back bench clearing.
God, don't you remember some of those amazing Avalanche Red Wings fights, though,
man? I mean, there's no doubt that bench clearing is sweet, which is why baseball probably has the greatest fighting rules of all time because you can clear the benches. But I do think that it can be a little much.
I mean, I say, maybe they should institute a rule. They should be like, okay, we'll let you guys fight at the opening puck drop. If you fight, you're just kicked out of the game automatically for the rest of the game. So then it would be something like.
Okay, so you'd have to remove yourself from the game if you.
Well, no, they would just throw them out of the game, you know.
Okay,
they
fair enough.
Do that. No penalties. They'd just be like, okay, we know you guys have some bad blood. We'll let you fight, but if you really want to fight, we'll let it happen, but you're going to be going out of the game right afterwards.
I don't know, but that seems like that could turn into something kind of like people just setting up fights with people they just don't like.
I don't know. I mean, no. I don't. It's got to be like a situational thing, I feel like.
Okay.
I think there's something you can do about it. I mean, clearly I think the fighting is good in the NHL for the most part. I don't think that necessarily the enforcer-type guys that are out there just trying to take cheap shots and fight people are good
right
to the game. I think those guys are bad. But, I mean, I do think fighting definitely has a place in the NHL. And I think that, you know, it's, I don't know, I feel like they should.
Well,
definitely
I agree with you.
It
definitely has a place in the NHL.
Yeah. It is ridiculous that they fought right at the puck drop. But, I mean, everyone kind of knew that they were going to do that anyway, so.
I don't know. I just didn't like it.
Okay. Fair enough. Do you want to talk any more on NHL? Is there anything else, or do you just want
to? Yeah, you know, I just wanted to touch on the fighting. I mean, you know, I think we'll see. I mean, things are reaching that time here where it's getting critical in the NHL to really lock up your division for sure if you haven't done that already.
My Sabres with a big 6-0 win over the Boston Bruins.
I saw that first goal. I was like, oh, Sabres doing something. If only you were not, I think, dead last or pretty close to the bottom of the league table, you know, that might
very
be a good
far part. Down. Let's see. I'm taking a look. We are currently 9 points behind 8th place.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Although
no, it is not.
Although the 7th and 8th place teams are in our division. So okay. I'm sure we've got a few more games against them. So if we can sweep them, it could get a little interesting. But,
well, you know, okay. Keep hope alive, man.
I'm trying. But yeah, other than that, I think we'll just go into the Cup of Joe.
Cups of Joe. Little coffee for you.
First one, right off the bat, NBA All-Star Game. How ridiculous is it that they are having an All-Star Game this season?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I don't even really know why they're even doing it. And, I mean, the whole thing, I mean, they changed the name of the rookie game, right? It's going to be the Rising Stars game, and it's going to be, I guess, maybe like rookies and sophomores or whatever, like mixed
team,
together.
Yeah, and Shaq and Charles Barkley are picking the teams.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like, really, I don't know, that just sounds... It just sounds like it's a real stretch for them to try to get readership. And then you got Dirk Nowitzki saying he's not good enough to be in the All-Star game. Although, you know, I think he had a pretty good game tonight against the Nuggets. But I think it's ridiculous with the shortened season.
Well, I assume that they couldn't cancel it just because the city of Orlando, I suppose, would have had lots of – they'd be losing a lot of money, I suppose. Or something.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
But still, the fact that they're having an All-Star game is kind of ridiculous when not even Derrick Rose can stay healthy for all these games, and he's only 23.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Back spasms.
Yeah.
And he had turf toe, too. Derrick Rose banged up. Not good news for the Bulls.
Yeah. The
they did have
game,
Will Ferrell introduce the lineups tonight at the United Center, though.
I did not see that. I'll have to wait for the clip.
Yeah.
Next, Ricky Williams.
Ricky Williams retiring.
For the second time, although I guess everyone assumes this one's going to stick as he's 35, I believe.
Yeah, I think this one is definitely for real. I heard him this morning on the radio, Mike and Mike. It seemed like, you know, and they kept saying that, like, obviously they think he came back mostly to pay off the money he owed Miami. But I definitely got from him that whatever he came back for, it seemed like he was ready to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what, I don't know. He said he wanted to travel the world or whatever, but... you know, it is what it is. But I think Ricky Williams, definitely college Hall of Fame player. I don't know if you can say he flamed out in the NFL because he did have some good years on the back end there.
He had a couple good years before he retired.
That's true. I think his biggest problem is he had the worst contract ever his first year out. It was all incentives.
Master P, baby.
Master P branching out the No Limit Sports. That did not work out at all.
I mean, he's kind of a rare breed in the NFL, in any professional sport, really, where he's a football player that isn't a football player first. He's, like, actually a real human being.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
He didn't want to conform at all. Well, I mean, yeah. But, I mean, you can't really fault him for having other interests and not wanting to define himself as just... this guy who runs a football all the time. So I mean, you
no, I know. Well, that's what they always say, right? The media is always saying, like, oh, how we wish athletes were more well-rounded or whatever, whatever. But then guys like Ricky Williams. And you know what I always think of is the first time he retired, Jay Mariotti being on ESPN and saying how he thought he was scum or whatever.
Yeah.
And then look what happened to him, you know, like what
Jay Mariotti is.
Yeah, he's a D-bag. There's no doubt about it. But I think Ricky Williams, definitely, I like him. Good guy, great player, I think. You know, could have been a lot better if the situation had been a little different, but definitely college Hall of Famer. One of the best players I've ever seen play in college.
Oh yeah, he had it all there. He just didn't want
to.
He didn't. Want
I mean, he
to,
brought Texas back. I mean, people need to remember that. Like Texas had been good in like the 50s, but when Ricky Williams came in the late 90s, was that like 98 or whatever? Mm-hmm. He really brought Texas back to what it is now. You know.
All right, last one. I'm going to mention a little Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, y'all.
He's been looking healthier than he has in the past.
Looking very healthy. Won a tournament.
He has not won one yet, I don't think. But,
has not won a tournament.
Yes. He finished third, I think, last weekend.
He finished third last weekend.
He says his swing is right and that
he's feeling healthy.
Healthy. So what do we think? What do you think... What does he have to do until you can finally say, okay, Tiger Woods is back? What does he have to do this year?
I mean, I don't know. That's tough because where do we put his expectations now? Do we put it in old Tiger? I mean, I think before you say he's back, he has to win a major, I think. I mean, to me, that's what he measures himself by. So until he wins another major, I don't know, you know, what else there is to measure him by. I mean, obviously, he's played well in a fair amount of tournaments. He just hasn't been able to string together enough good rounds. Mm-hmm. So I think he's, you know, he's close. I think he's very close to being back. I mean, I think he can easily compete in any major. So, but I think he has to win for me.
So are you saying basically if he were to only win one major, he would be back? If he won nothing else this year, or does he have to win a couple other things as well?
I think if he won one major, I would consider him back because it's so hard to win a major, and I'm just not going to put him up to old Tiger levels. I just can't do that.
If he were to not win any majors but finish in the top three or five for all four of them, but then also win some other tournaments, would you consider him back, or would you still consider him
I would consider him not back. I mean, I really do think he has to win a major because I think for him that's the milestone.
Okay.
And I think to show that he's pulling away, because winning majors really does show you're a different breed of player, you know, and I think that clearly he's showing he can compete, but, you know, he has to show that he can dominate. Not even necessarily dominate, but just seal the deal, I think, mm-hmm. is the thing for Tiger Woods. But the reality is golf really needs Tiger Woods to be good again, especially American golf, because, you know, I mean, I know Ricky Fowler's got all these commercials out here or whatever, but he can't win anything. It's embarrassing, really.
Okay. Do you think he wins this weekend at Pebble Beach?
I think he wins this weekend at Pebble Beach. I pretty much pick Tiger Woods to win any tournament he walks into. And a lot of people say that that's foolish. But, I mean, when he's on, he's better than any player that's ever played. So I feel confident picking him every single time.
All right. I think that's going to do it for the Bagpile this week.
That's going to close it up.
You can always check us out on the webs.
On the web. The interwebs.
Yes, at in-slash-. What? No, that's not it.
In-the-bag2gs.com.
There you go. There's my hype man right there.
Mistakes here. Tiger Woods, you with your own website. Although I'm pretty sure Tiger Woods did win that one off-tour event, but maybe I'm crazy.
I'm not sure. I don't think he did. In any case, maybe he did. But, yeah, you can check us out there. We're going to try to get some more sports stuff going on. At the moment, it's been a lot of movie coverage, especially for the upcoming Academy Awards, but I did write something.
It's that time of year.
I did write something on Monday that was sports related, so you can come by and check that out over there. Check.
Follow you on Twitter, too.
Exactly. You can follow me on Twitter at In The Bag, no hyphens in that one. And we have a Facebook group, which is In The Bag. I mean, you know, it's the same.
I understand. You've got social media in the bag. I understand.
Exactly. Excellent. Excellent. Excellent wordplay, my friend.
Of course.
In any case, hopefully we'll be able to make this a tad more regular. We'll be able to get something going here. I think, do you like the Thursday coming out, or would you like to go back to a Monday, or what are you thinking here?
I do kind of like the late week coming out. I won't lie to you.
I mean, we do get to survey the social sort of sports scene, the ESPN storylines of the week and all that sort of stuff. So maybe we'll continue to come out on Thursdays. But other than that, just keep checking us out. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. Come by the website. Do all that kind of good stuff.
In the bag.
All right. Later.